Welcome, everyone. It's 6:02, and we have a quorum. I think we have a full complement of commissioners, so I'm calling the Commission on Reapportionment meeting to order today, March 23rd, 2022. For the benefit of those who are guests, do we have many guests here, by the way, besides Carol?
Just see Carol, and of course we have some three county staff besides myself.
Yeah,
Carol's the only guest.
Yeah, well, I think we all know each other, right? So I don't know that we need to go through that again, right?
Where's Mike?
He may join us in a minute.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we don't need to do the introductions, I think, today, because we know each other. We normally do that for guests either on Zoom or on the telephone. So all commissioners were emailed an agenda for tonight's meeting along with other pertinent documents. And we have the minutes as well as the transcript received by everyone. The minutes from March 9th are there. So regarding those minutes from March 9th, our last meeting, I'll ask for a motion to accept, please.
So moved.
Andy, thank you. Second, please. Donna, thank you. All in favor of accepting the minutes as presented, signify by raising your hand and saying yes or aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Passes. There any is anyone opposed? Just asking for formality and one more formality. Any abstentions? No, thank you. So the minutes for March 9th, 2022 are approved. Thank you. Are there any questions or comments by the commissioners on any aspect of the agenda as written before we proceed? By anyone else, anyone from our colleagues on working for the county? Any questions on the agenda items? Carol, I think you're our only guest here tonight so far. Do you have a question?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have one person joining us. Let me just identify. Galaxy S7, can I get your name, please? Oh, let's give them a moment. Well, maybe we can come back to them. They seem to be having trouble.
Okay. All right. Then let's do that. Okay. Thank you. For new business, the first at bat is Kristen Gamere, our county attorney, and she's going to be speaking to us about rules of order and bylaws. So, Kristen, please go ahead.
Sure. Hi, everyone. I have no problem stating that I'm working from home with COVID right now. My daughter and I have it. So I really just wanted to attend this meeting because I didn't think it was fair to anyone to give it to someone else, especially since we have all these questions going on. And I did present the idea that maybe you guys should have some rules. So last meeting, as we all know, like Regis stated in his one email, there was a question about abstentions and how to handle them. And so basically I did some research and well, I found out you guys have no rules on how to proceed, any policies or procedures. So you can go that way, but then you end up having problems like we did last time, which is just that we're unsure where to go in the moment, or you're unsure where to go in the moment, and we're unsure how to guide you. So my suggestion to Regis was that you adopt some sort of rules and procedures. Obviously, you could just simply rely on the Ulster County Legislature's rules and procedures and adopt those as your own. There's Robert's Rules of Order. And then the the other idea is to create all your own. That could take a while. So what we did, Regis and I decided I would just put together a very quick, simple, these are our bylaws. And in the bylaws, the draft that you all were sent, it just says we'll follow Robert's Rules of Order. So, you know, as everyone probably knows, that's very complicated. This is my latest version. It's massive. So might take a few minutes to look things up, unless anyone else here happens to be an expert, can bounce things pretty quickly. But you guys do whatever you want. These are just suggestions. You can continue in anarchy if you want. But you guys do what you want. I just wanted to recommend that. And then before we even get further, I wanted to say to Ken's point in the one email about abstentions and how much it would take to pass the vote. I agree with his assessment, and that can be changed or come out. You guys can do whatever you want. I guess I just wanted to take a moment before you start to do anything else and let you know that my advice is that you come up with some rules before you continue.
Yeah. One of the things that that Kristen had mentioned to me in her phone call, she said, "Well, you know, you can adopt the legislature one, which are Robert's Rules plus." And I thought, well, that's probably a direction. I'm not speaking for everybody, but for myself, a direction we may not, you know, want to go. And I know that that Fawn had was coming from a place of legislature rules, right, Fawn?
Yes, sir. And their rules have to do with, you know, putting in resolutions and things like that.
Right.
How to submit things, which you wouldn't apply to you.
Right. Right. And when Kristen said exactly what she just did, she said, you know, you don't have any rules to go by. You might want to consider just adopting a set of rules, a rules of order, within maybe the context of bylaws. It made sense to me. And as she said just now, or you could proceed and you could do nothing. So it seemed like the simplest way would be to take a look at bylaws and see what transpires here. So you receive the draft that Kristen put together for our discussion and disposition. And so as a matter of procedure, to get this started, would someone make a motion, some commissioner make a motion that the Commission on Reapportionment adopt bylaws within which rules of order are adopted? So would someone consider making that motion?
Are you asking to make a motion on these bylaws, or that we consider adopting bylaws at all?
Bylaws at all. Would anybody like to make that motion?
I mean, I'll make that motion. Doesn't sound like a bad idea to me.
No. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, Andy. Would someone second Andy's motion?
I'll second it.
Okay, thank you very much. That's Kathy. So now is the time for discussion. We can create our own bylaws. We can work with.
Well, if you have a motion, you really need to vote on it, don't you?
No, I'm talking about a discussion. What I'm talking about is I'm looking for a discussion right now. Well, before a vote.
Okay. This is about the question is, should we have bylaws?
Right. Right. Well, the question is, should we have bylaws? Yes, period. Yeah. All right. I think you're right on that, Ken. And then we can come back to these particular set of bylaws. Would that be appropriate?
Well, if we're going to follow Roberts, that's probably what.
Yeah. Well, let's do that.
I think you guys can have discussion as to whether before you vote on whether you want bylaws at all. Some people. You can have discussion first on whether you want to do it at all and then vote.
Why don't we Why don't we vote on that simple motion that, as a matter of procedure, we have the motion that the Commission on Reapportionment adopt bylaws within which rules of order are adopted. So we have those in place. We have a motion and a second. So those in favor of that, not these particular bylaws, but bylaws, please signify by saying yes and raising your hand.
Aye.
One.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anyone opposed? I'm not looking around.
No. No, I think that was unanimous.
Okay, that was unanimous. Okay, thank you. Okay, the second motion that I would entertain is the motion that the Commission on Reapportionment adopt a version of the bylaws presented in draft form by Ulster County Attorney Kristen Gemmer.
I think we're too soon for that. We need to discuss these bylaws at all. And I can kick it off by saying thank you to Kristen for putting these together. Though I suspect that most of Article 1, by that I mean the subsections.
Just a minute, please. You've jumped to a discussion. I'm looking for a motion to do what we decided to do off of Kristen's and Kristen's draft. And so I'm looking for a motion on that and a second and then a discussion. So
you could make a motion to discuss the draft that you have before you. Or you could. You don't need to be that formal, but you can be that formal.
Okay. So it's a motion to discuss the draft bylaws prepared by Kristen Gemmer. Would anybody please make that motion? So, Donna, thank you. Second, Kathy, thank you. Discussion, please go ahead.
Well, we didn't vote on it, right?
No, it's a discussion. We will vote after the discussion.
Okay. I thank Kristen for putting these together. I suspect that most of Article 2, and by that I mean Sections 1 and 2 and all of Article 3, are not something that we can vote on. There we are governed by the rules of the county charter, and I really think that it's the language of it is not even mirroring that in the county charter that I could say that it's close enough. I think we should probably just strike it all together, other than maybe the purpose and responsibility is governed by the section C10 of the Ulster County Charter, section on reapportionment. We should probably just leave this alone. We have no control over membership. We have no control over the, it says we should avoid gerrymandering, which doesn't reflect the language of the charter, which says we may not weigh one political party or another. It's really not in conforming with the law.
Well, what we were going to do is to go through this an article at a time. And
I just did, so there you go.
Well, you did, yes.
Not
everyone has. You did.
Sure, you asked for discussion and I gave it.
Okay. All right. Okay. So Article 1, does anyone have anything more to say about that than what's written? Is that acceptable?
Just the email address is not the email address we had agreed on.
Anyone in the commissioners have anything they want to talk about in that regard?
No.
Okay, that's pretty good. Okay, Article 2, what Sarah had suggested is basically keeping the first paragraph and eliminating 1 and 2. Is that correct?
Right. I would just say that we are governed by the charter and not except as otherwise provided in these bylaws. I would say the bylaws can't override what's in the charter.
Well, okay. So there will be things in bylaws that are not in the charter, and it's not an override. It's just an other than.
If the bylaws pertain to how we work as how we've come up with our rules as a committee or commission, there's nothing in, there's very little in the charter that talks about it. There's some rules about voting, I think. If this document did not conform with the charter, these bylaws can't override what's in the charter. So if they don't conform, the bylaws can't say something different. From my reading of it, other than these two sections, I didn't see anything that didn't conform. But paragraph one under article two is largely different from the charter. And paragraph two provides very little detail about the deadlines. We should just work with the charter that we're governed by. We don't get a choice to ignore the law as it stands. The people of Ulster County voted on the charter language. And under Article 3, we can't vote on how members are chosen.
Let's wait a minute, just a moment. Let's do just Article 2.
We're just...
Don't dismiss... Well, I want to know what other people think of what you just...
Excuse me, I'm speaking. What is...
I know you are.
What rules are
what I'm saying is, can we go through this an article at a time, one piece at a time, so that everybody has the chance to speak? That's all.
Fine. This article, as much as I appreciate Kristen's writing of it, is not in conformance with the charter in the terms that are provided. So I would say we just strike. It's fine to have a purpose and responsibilities, but it should just say they're outlined in the charter. That's all it should say.
Okay. Does anyone have any comments on that or as it's written? Article 2.
I mean, I definitely agree that the charter is number one for sure. Charter over bylaws. I mean, that's what we came for. That's what we've all been going by from the beginning. So if it makes sense to strike that portion of it, I'm okay with that as well.
Anyone else?
I do agree. We are governed by the charter.
Yeah, we are. So, but I'm saying not to have one and two and not to have anything about except as otherwise provided in these bylaws. So there can be language in the bylaws that's not in the charter, but is not in violation of the charter.
As long as it's not in violation of the charter.
Right.
The terminology except as otherwise provided in these bylaws would suggest that the bylaws trump the charter.
They don't trump the charter. It's an addition to the charter.
The words as written suggest that as except as otherwise provided, the charter governs except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, does not suggest that the charter governs. It suggests that the bylaws govern and are secondary, is primary to our secondary document of the charter, which is not accurate.
Kristen, can I ask you for your advice on this? Does except as otherwise provided in these bylaws, is that language trumping the charter?
I think it's open to interpretation, which is just as bad. I mean, if Sarah can argue that way, that's fine. So you can make changes. So there's not, you know, you guys, yeah, you can make changes to these. If you want to strike certain language, that's fine. The answer to the question is it can be interpreted more than one way. I did not interpret it the way Commissioner DiStefano is, as she's stating it. And I still don't necessarily, but that doesn't matter. It's your document. So if people want to amend it before voting, that's fine.
Okay. Okay. All right. So can I, by a show of hands, can I get a vote on Sarah's changes to Article 2? Those in favor of Sarah's changes to Article 2, please raise your hand and say yes.
But yes. I don't know. What are we doing?
Well, we're going through these bylaws one article at a time. Okay.
Well, if you make changes, there should be an amendment which is proposed and the amendment then voted on, which would strike language or add language to the charter. Just a general feeling. I don't know how you vote on that.
Well, what we're taking a vote on is Article 2 with the changes that Sarah has recommended. And the changes she's recommended is to eliminate 1 and 2 as written and to take out the except otherwise clause in the very beginning. Those are the changes. Am I right about that, Sarah?
Yes. So okay. It would start purpose and responsibilities, the purpose, function, selection, and responsibilities of the commissioners of the Corps are described in the Ulster County Charter section on reapportionment, section C10. And that would be the extent of Article 1.
Okay, so with those changes, those in favor of those changes that Sarah just described, may I have a show of hands that say yes?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. How many do we have? 1, 2.
It's everybody.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Article 3. Go ahead, Sarah.
The membership on this commission is not governed by bylaws under which we can vote on. The membership and the choosing of members is governed by the county charter, and we should not be voting on bylaws that suggest that we have any say in how members are chosen. We do not. They're actually, most of our charter that governs us is about the selection of members. So I would say to strike this whole article.
Are you saying to strike the article because it's redundant to the charter? Is that your point?
It's not something we can vote on as a commission. It is been voted on by the public, by the voters of Ulster County, and is law. We do not get to it. Also, it doesn't reflect the exact wording of the charter to say that it's even redundant. It's just different. I don't know how we vote on that.
Well, there's nothing in the charter about somebody resigning, right?
There absolutely is.
There is? Okay.
It's most of our charter in regards to our commission is about membership, how members are chosen, when they are chosen, if there's a vacancy, how they are chosen. I mean, most of it is about membership.
Okay. Does anyone else have any discussion on this, on Article 3? Okay. In favor of eliminating Article 3, please signify by raising your hand and say yes.
Yes.
You got a count there, Fawn?
7. It looks like it was unanimous to me.
All right. Okay. Article 4, officers. Does anyone have any comment on that?
My only comment is that in Section 3, first vice chair is Frist vice chair. That's not really just a typo, but pertinent.
Say that again. In Article 4, number what?
Paragraph 3. The last, it says Frist vice chair, and at least.
Oh, I see. Yes, I see. Everyone okay with that? We don't have to take a vote. Is everyone okay with this then? Mm-hmm. You don't have any comments? That stays, Article 5.
Well, this is where I had a comment.
Sure.
under Article 5, Section 5, absentees, abstentions do not count as a vote. That paragraph seems to be inconsistent with the open meetings law. Virtually all committees, governmental committees under New York appear to have a full majority, not just who's there and who's voting. I'll refer to Kristen for that interpretation.
Yeah. Kristen?
No, that's the thing I already commented on. That can just be removed.
You think it's what?
It can be removed.
And I would move to remove that sentence under Section 5.
Read that sentence, please.
Abstentions do not count as a vote. E.g., if 2 of 7 commission members abstain, it will take 3 affirmative votes for the motion to pass. I mean, that's just flat out inconsistent with the rules of the open meetings law regarding governmental operation. You have to have a firm majority.
Well, it's a majority. It's a majority of votes.
The open meeting law defines it precisely what it means. This interpretation is incorrect.
Well, it's Robert's Rules of Order, I think.
It's not. It's flat out incorrect. It's illegal.
All right. So what you're saying is that that abstentions count as a vote?
No.
What are you saying?
I'm saying what I wrote in my memo.
No, never mind what you wrote in your memo. Just say what it means.
Because I quoted the law. The law says this is not correct. So the motion is to delete this sentence.
I believe what he's saying, if I understand him, is that you need 4 votes to pass anything, no matter how many commissioners are there or how many abstain. Is that my understanding?
The law is quite clear on this. If you have a 7-member commission, you have to have 4 positive votes to pass anything.
I believe he's correct.
That is correct. That's the way the planning boards work.
That's why all the governmental organizations work, because that's defined by the open meetings law. And you're voting, and it's been interpreted by the courts on several occasions, which I referenced.
So like what happened last meeting, when Ken abstained, we all still voted yes, so it still passed. If 2 people would have voted no and he abstained, it still would have passed. If 3 people voted no and he abstained, it would not have passed.
Yeah, or if people are absent or for some other reason.
People are absent. Correct.
You need a majority of the committee. It doesn't matter if people are absent or if they abstain. This committee needs 4 votes under all circumstances to pass anything.
Okay. And Kristen, is that the law as you understand it too?
So, yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, why don't you guys just decide what you want to do moving forward? Like, if you choose to follow strictly under Robert's rules, I double check that it's a majority of the people who are voting.
In Robert's rules, it is the majority of people who are voting.
But open government, Department of Open Government, tell you, Robert's rules is not legal. I mean, we can follow Robert's rules, but we can't substitute Robert's Rules voting for what the open meetings law demands. I mean, it's fine for making motions and whatever, but
right now. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, I have no problem. I don't say anything unless I know it and have it right in front of me. And maybe so I have to look, and I'm happy to do that. If anyone else has it in front of them, they're welcome to speak up. I'm trying to let you guys do your thing.
We can always revisit that if that were the case, and we would need 2/3 vote to change a bylaws. So it's not a big deal, right?
So my motion is on the floor to remove that sentence.
I just would suggest you do want to leave in the abstentions do not count as a vote, correct?
I would remove that entire sentence.
Okay.
I mean, the abstentions are covered in the open meetings law. There's a zillion interpretations of what you do there. It does not count as a positive vote.
You're correct.
No, it doesn't count. It doesn't count as a positive vote or a negative vote. It doesn't count as any vote.
No, it's an abstention. Vote. It's a vote.
It's not a vote. It's an abstention.
Okay, so we could take out the parenthetical statement at the end of that section, and then we'd all be happy.
No, the motion is to remove that entire sentence.
I also
don't think entire section five can, or the entire sentence in the parentheses at the end of it.
The sentence that reads abstentions do not account as a vote. Mm-hmm. E.g., if 2 of 7 commissioners abstain, it will take 3 affirmative votes for the motion to pass.
I suspect, I don't know for certain, but I suspect since Ken sent us the language that he's right about this. But I will say that if there's a question about the legality of this here, it's really hard to vote on this bylaws since this is probably the force majeure on what bylaws even are. And if we adopt the bylaws and we vote and we're wrong about the law, then there's a question as to whether or not our votes are have force. Doesn't that just put everything we do going forward
at question? Well, it absolutely does. Question?
So I don't know that we can really move forward with just, I mean, if it's not in conformity with what Ken is saying is accurate, and I actually suspect what Ken is saying is accurate because he sent it to us. I don't think we can vote on this without knowing for certain what the law says, I guess is my thoughts.
Well, I think we probably should hold on this until we get a reading on it. And
we should take it out.
Well, I know that's what you suggested, Ken.
And that's the motion. It's up to the commission to decide that.
I think Ken, I don't disagree with you. I think what I'm saying is maybe we table it all together for now because we're trying to find the correct language. And so we would replace it with the correct language, and we should vote on replacing it with the correct language when we have the correct language, which I suspect is what you meant, but I think we're asking for further legal clarification on it.
So does that mean we table the discussion about the bylaws altogether?
Yes. Yes. I would suggest that because I'm not certain. I'm not as certain as you are, Ken. And if you're right, you're right. But I'm not certain on it. Does everybody else feel, was everybody okay with tabling this for the time being until we get a reading, a clear reading on this?
Now, what is it we're tabling?
We're tabling the bylaws, approving these bylaws. So that's what we're doing. You know, we've gotten pretty far into it, but you know, we've gotten to Article 5, and that's where we're hung up, and we need a very clear reading on it.
Perhaps for the sake of time, we could just move on to the next article and see if there's agreement or disagreement, amend it, and then come back to Article 5.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, let's table Article 5.
Right. So Article 6, anyone have thoughts on that? No? Okay, so does that look like that can stand? That section on committees, everyone okay with that? Mm-hmm. Yes, okay, all right. And then Article 7 is the last one. Amendments to the bylaws would require a 2/3 majority vote.
I would just make that majority vote. I mean, 2/3 on a committee like this is getting kind of tight. Mm-hmm.
And normally, amendments to bylaws require a 2/3 vote, just because it should be hard to change these things. I mean, I'm okay with majority vote. Would you like to put that in as an amendment? Change a 2/3 to majority.
I would put that in as an amendment.
So instead of 5-4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is everyone okay with that?
I I think I'd rather keep it 2/3. I agree that keeping the bylaws more difficult to amend is probably better, so that a simple majority can't make a change, so that we need like a broad consensus.
Okay. So let's take Ken's suggestion and just, I see what you're saying, Andy, and who would like to go along with Ken's suggestion of majority vote instead of 2/3? Anybody? Ken would, I know.
Yep.
Anybody else? Okay. Who would like to keep this as is with 2/3 vote? What do we have here?
Everyone
but Ken. Six.
All right, so we're left with Article 5, and we have we got through most of it. So thank you for that. I was hoping you wouldn't.
Sorry, I did. Yeah, it's the Ken is correct that for public bodies specifically in New York, it needs to be a majority of the members and not a majority of people voting.
Okay. So we can amend Article 5.
So, Kristen, one more time. Could you say that one more time on Article 5, that Ken's suggestion is correct? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
why don't you just say what it is? Go ahead.
Well, Anna. Just that, abstention not counting as a vote is different. But as far as you need a majority of the members, so you need 4 people to vote in the affirmative on a public board, which this is.
On a public board.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Okay. Ken, does that square with what you were suggesting?
Yeah. Yes, that's my understanding of the law.
Okay. Well, I think does everyone feel comfortable to go with that?
Mm-hmm. I think, because we have a legal interpretation, we really just have to strike that. You don't need to vote on where you're going to include something that's legal or illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable. Yeah.
Yep. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah. So we'll strike that from the article.
Yes, we are. No. Yeah. Everyone okay with that? Yes. Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Okay. So, Fawn, do you have those changes?
Yes, sir. I do.
Okay.
I will try to get them out to you later tonight.
Alrighty. Okay. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Do you want to vote on the entire document now as amended, or do you want to wait and have me send it to you and vote on it next time?
What's the pleasure of the commission on that?
Well, I think we understand it well enough. I mean, the only issue I had was that sentence, and that's been removed. So I'd be willing to go ahead and vote on it now.
Yeah. Anybody else have a thought on it?
Okay. Sounds good. We might as well.
All right. So those in favor of the changes that were described in the discussion, please signify by raising your hand and saying yes.
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 Okay. Yep. Anyone opposed? I can't really see here. No. Okay. All right. It passes unanimously. Thank you. All right. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. The next item on the agenda refers to amending something previously adopted. And this is motion 2 from March 9th, 2022. And that motion read and was passed, quote, to add an identifier EO to the mapping numbers of maps submitted by elected officials. And that was passed 6-0. At our last meeting. I'm proposing to consider, I'm not making a motion, I'm proposing to consider an amendment to that for the following reasons. That the motion that was adopted at the last meeting narrowly singles out elected officials, whereas political influence can emerge from multiple sources, such as staff elected officials and political operatives. So for reasons of completeness and fairness, that's that piece of it. And the second reason is that according to the Ulster County Planning Department personnel, that's namely Rob Leibowitz and Dennis Doyle, the Commission on Reapportionment, they assist our commission to access submitted maps and using available identifiers of on these maps are usernames. So what is available are usernames only, which do not of themselves necessarily identify directly or indirectly an elected official or anyone else for that matter.
Is that statement correct?
Well, let me finish. I think it is, but let me finish here. Attorney Kristen Gamir pointed out at the meeting and during this discussion that anyone who foils a submitted map based on the information provided by our planning department will receive the maps and usernames connected with those maps, because that's all there is. As of 3/9, this was new information for us, and in my case, newly sunk in information. Except for those elected officials who happen to use their full legal name as their username, the planning department staff would be only guessing the identities of the elected officials. That is an expectation that is seemingly unfair to the planning department to administer the EO label accurately. Applying an EO identifier to the maps whose sources cannot be uniformly and accurately discerned is flawed and impractical for commission use. The intention and practical purpose of the commission to distance itself from political influence is a good one, and a proposed amendment should retain that commitment. But proceeding with an identifier such as EO that is not objectively and uniformly possible to apply has no really real practical value. So I'd like to ask, and we will have a discussion on this, I'd like to ask someone who would be willing to make a motion that commissioners actively remove themselves from all undue political influence that might lead to gerrymandering. It's a broader statement. Would anyone care to make that motion to move this forward?
Could you repeat that, please?
Yes. That the commissioners will actively remove themselves from all undue political influence that might lead to gerrymandering.
I would just like to know, it sounds like you're moving to push that amendment through. I'm unclear if we're supposed to be discussing.
The purpose would be to have an amendment that would change the original member.
First half of motion to reconsider.
Yeah, I'm clear if we're having a motion to discuss or if we're a motion to amend. And if we're just amending, I have plenty of discussion on the language at hand.
Okay.
I think you should start with a motion to reconsider.
Okay, let's do that then. I'm asking for a motion from a commissioner to reconsider amending motion number 2 from March 9th, 2022, that reads to add an identifier EO to mapping numbers of maps submitted by elected officials.
I will make that motion.
All right. Thank you. Anyone second? No one. Okay. That ends. It stands.
I'd like to bring up a question that you brought up.
That's over. No, just read it. It's over.
Well, I'm...
No, I couldn't get a second. And if we had a second, we could proceed to discuss this. There's no point to discussing it.
This is not discussing the motion. This is discussing the report from the planning department about the only information they have available is the emails.
Well, Ken, we didn't get there. Okay. We couldn't get a second on this. Okay.
We're not discussing the motion. We're discussing the report from the planning board, which you repeated, is that anyone who has submitted a map into MapAtec has been offered the opportunity to provide his full contact information, name, address, phone numbers, and a 250-word narrative. Why isn't that information available to the commission?
Can I answer that?
please do.
Okay, what was given to me from the files, from the username file, so that means any data that is within the folder that is contained and copied over from IS to me is data. What that includes is the folder name is the username. Anything inside that folder is a plan. That's it. That's what I have. A submitted plan, there's a special way. If you actually press the submitted plan, there's a little box in which you can type something in. A total of one person typed something in. And to explain their plan. That was it. And I just noticed that today. Actually, about an hour ago. So that's it. I have nothing else. So you want email addresses? I don't got them. Usernames? I got them.
But you do have access to that information if people were to submit it.
You could ask IS for that information. I'd have to dig elsewhere. They're not in the folders that was given to me. But I'm happy. I mean, right now you have no usernames shown.
Just to jump in, though, Rob, if someone were to FOIL this information, if it's somewhere within the county, we would have to provide the emails. So it doesn't really make sense. Like, if you have any information and someone requests it, you'd have to get that information. So it doesn't really make sense that the commission doesn't have, at least for the purposes of you identifying, not for us to see it, doesn't really make sense that you're not able to get it in order to fill out this request by the commission, right? I mean, you'd have to have it anyway.
Well, I'd have to go dig for it, or I'd have to ask for it. I don't know where it is. It's not in what I was given. That's all I can tell you.
But that's not the same as it doesn't exist.
All right. So what I have are usernames. I mean, what I can share, I could, if you want, I can share all the plans with you. And quite frankly, all the plans submitted, it's very obvious who they are. And most of them are all commission members. So, you know, it's up to you what you want to share. I'd share all of them or none of them, whatever you guys want. And as a commission, I could share them with you now as opposed to the public, if you don't want it to the public. So it's your material, I should say. So there's no reason for commission members to FOIL me because it's your data. So no, you want access to...
I'm not saying I want that information.
I'm not saying it to you.
I'm saying that if it were to be FOIL'd by someone, you'd have to go get that information. So it's not an unreasonable request.
No, sorry. I'm just going to
have that information.
Go ahead, Kirsten.
If the planning department is FOIL'd to give the information they have on the maps, they have no duty to go find more information. They provide the information they have in their possession.
So
that's it.
So you could FOIL the information services department if you want. For more information.
I have no interest in doing that. I'm just saying that the information exists somewhere.
Yes. Possibly on information services, but it's not what I have.
It doesn't feel unreasonable for us to somehow connect the two. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a huge request from IS. I suspect it's not, though.
If it is, it's probably in a separate folder. I haven't seen the folder, but it's probably in a separate folder. If it has it, then it's probably a separate folder, probably the usernames again, probably has the information, just pull it and copy it, paste. But I'm just saying what I have so far, that's all I've seen. So that's all I'm saying.
I'm sorry. Has the commission requested information that they've been unable to receive?
No.
Commission would like to put an indicator on maps that were, we voted on this the last meeting, maps that were submitted by elected officials. We were anonymizing the maps. It was just meant to be that the person is an elected official. We have been talking about this for a year. When we finally went to do it, we were told that this information suddenly doesn't exist and it would be somehow, as Regis wrote, essentially impractical to do this. But no one mentioned it until just the last meeting that it didn't exist. And it sounds like it does exist. It just doesn't exist at, which I understand, easily at Rob's fingertips. But we're not looking to get the, at least at this juncture, the information. We just wanted to correctly identify elected officials in order to maintain our independence so that we had a little bit more information about who was submitting the maps and we weren't completely in the dark.
So if I may, the planning department told you exactly what information it had, which was the usernames of those folks that submitted the maps.
Sure. You told us that at the last meeting. And that's what I said.
And I'm not any way, shape or form indicating that by hitting a submit button on a third party software that somehow that captures an email address. That's the first thing. The second thing, even if it does capture an email address, that does not necessarily mean you know who the name of the party or their affiliation that submitted it just by knowing the email address.
You could say that about email in general. I mean,
I am saying that about email.
Someone could create an email.
The commission is asking us to identify who elected officials are. I would suggest that it's easier to identify who sent it, you know, in terms of a username. And if we can find email addresses, then I would suggest that we could ask that question. But it's not something that you would, it's definitive, would tell you who that person is an elected official or not.
I think the logic here is that we can't trust the email. First of all, I don't know. I don't have access to this, so I don't know if we have an email address or not. I agree. But I think the logic here is
that. Neither do we, by the way.
Excuse me, I'm speaking. If we have an email address that, I mean, for instance, we received an email from Mike Baden. The logic that you're using is that we have no idea if we actually received it from Mike Baden. You could just as easily come up with mike.baden@gmail.com and we could pretend that it wasn't from him. So I think we're really getting down this garden path of like the reality doesn't exist, that we can't rely on email addresses that people submitted. I think that's highly unlikely. I don't know. I don't have access to behind the scenes in Maptitude. So I trust that Ken, you know, says that there's some ability to put things in. And I don't know that if you press submit, it captures your email address. But if it does, I don't think that we can say we have no idea if that person really submitted their email address, right? I mean, the logic doesn't follow that. That means we can never trust an email that anyone receives as being from the person.
Well, it actually captures more than email. I have a picture of it here. This is, there's a 250, up to 250 words, well, 250 words or less, description of how the plan complies with the instructions. I'm sorry, it's just this very, very tiny print for submitting a redistricting plan. So they ask you for a narrative. I fill that out. And then below that, it has your first name, your last name, your address, your city and state, zip code, telephone, and email. And I put all that in and hit OK. I trust that it's not available. I mean, I wasn't going to challenge that the last time, but I know that I filled it out. I filled it out completely.
It sounds like it's not readily available to the planning.
No, it's not.
It's not readily available to them, which I understand, but it doesn't sound like this is like we got to write code and an algorithm and it's rocket science to get this information. It's somewhere in the system and we just have to ask the right people to pull it for us.
Right. Can I explain my process for pulling them? Just so you all know. Okay, so I went through every single username, regardless whether they pressed the submit button or not. There's a special folder for submit that has about 5 plans in it. So you have that. But what I did is I went through all the plans and pulled anything that actually worked, just so you'd have more information to use. Because I know that going through it, not everybody knew that they had to hit the submit plan button. Now, when you do sign up for an account, it does capture your email address. So at least it has that in there. I don't have that, but it's probably on IS's servers. So what I have are 29 complete plans. 15 of them are unique, 14 of them are not. If I go to the submitted plan section, I might be able to find some narratives that are in there. That's what I have. That work for you?
So then let's not, it doesn't matter. Then either way, even if we have that, put it as an elected official on there, it doesn't matter anyway, right? Unless the elected official comes out and states this is their map, then we would know.
We have the information on the server. We just haven't pulled it.
Okay.
We just haven't pulled it. I understand we haven't pulled it because we don't have the people in this call don't have the information.
I think you asked me to put an asterisk next to anybody's username that I recognize, essentially, is what I was asked to do as part of your vote last time, correct?
Well, it was actually, the EO.
Pretty much. Or put an EO next to anybody I recognize as an electric official, correct?
Right.
So
why don't we do this? We will make the request to go back and see if we can capture emails. Let me ask the question is if the emails are, the difficulty I'm having here is I don't want to use our judgment of who constitutes an elected official based on an email. If I can find a name and the information that Regis said he'd submitted, we'll submit those as being elected officials. If not, we'll take a guess and say this looks like an elected official, and we'll asterisk that guess. Does that work for the commission? We're not trying to hide information here.
I don't think you should
guess. We're giving you what you asked for.
Yeah, I don't think you should guess.
I imagine it's going to be quite clear based on the email addresses that are submitted. We're not going to have anyone that has SpongebobSquarepants@gmail.com who's an elected official in Ulster County. It's going to be their name. My email address is my name. I suspect all of our email addresses are our name, some form of our name. That's how people create email addresses these days. So I'm not asking the planning department to guess. I'm assuming it will be very clear. And I'm assuming they know who the elected officials in Ulster County are. There's not an infinite amount of them.
May I make a suggestion? Why don't you give us a list of all the emails? You don't have to tell us which map they submitted. Just give us the list of the email addresses. The commissioners can look through them, see if anything is, the commissioners can then say which ones they want to be identified with an EO, and then we can match them up with their map. If we can get those email addresses.
I think we were hoping to keep it completely anonymous who the people are so that we couldn't. I mean, if there's just one, but I mean, at this point, we know there's one and we know who it is. So, I mean, I don't know how much it really matters. Yeah. My intention.
Well, I will tell you,
anonymized.
I will tell you that the planning department has been foiled.
Fair enough.
Say that again, Dennis.
I will tell you that the planning department has been foiled.
Okay. And so in a foil, you're going to give the map and whatever information you have.
We will give the information that the planning department has.
Right. Right. Whatever that is, if it's just a username. Right.
Okay. That's correct.
Yep. That's my understanding. Okay. All right. Let's move on. The motion that was passed last time stands. There is no amendment. On old business, I want to thank Fawn for arranging two in-person public hearings. One on Monday, May 16th at Turtle Creek Golf Course on Clackhill, Ardonia Road in Wallkill. The second on Thursday, May 19th. At Saugerty Senior Center, Canteen Memorial Field, Market Street, Saugerty's. Fawn, you said it's up to us to decide on a time?
Yes, I wasn't sure if you went to 6 o'clock, 6:30, 7 o'clock, but...
Okay, what's the pleasure of the group?
Can you repeat the date again, Regis? I apologize. Sorry about that.
Say that again?
Wait, can you repeat that date again? I apologize.
There are two dates. One date is Monday, May 16th. The second date is Thursday, May 19th.
It may take you a little longer to get to the Turtle Creek Golf Course than it would take you to get, you know, depending where you're coming from. It's going to take Donna a little bit longer to get up to Saugerties. So, and take the, you know, other people a little longer to get down there to that corner of the county. So plan your travel time.
Is there a usual meeting time for other meetings? Obviously, this is a unique one in that it happens only every 10 years, but that people would be expecting there to, you know, like if all the meetings are held at 7, we wouldn't want to hold it at 5 because people would think it's at 7. Is there a usual time or is it all over the place?
I think 7 is a pretty common time.
I would say anytime 6:37, probably 7 o'clock would give people a, you know, who were traveling, who were working, time to get home and come.
Is everyone okay with 7 o'clock for both mm-hmm. dates?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody have another idea? Okay.
7's good.
7. Right. Okay. Let's go with 7.
And then on Saturday.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Are we going to discuss mapping submissions and next steps?
That's the next, that's exactly where we are.
And I just want to clarify on April 9th, we're going to be meeting at the county building at 11 o'clock in person.
Or via Zoom, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, that would be, we didn't decide whether that's in person or Zoom, did we?
I don't think we can because the charter's saying that it's not mandated. So it's either or. So if you choose to be in person, you can go in person. If you don't feel comfortable, you stay on Zoom, correct?
Well, I don't know if we have the ability to facilitate both of those at this point in time. It must be, I don't think we can do a hybrid meeting. You could meet via Zoom though, because the executive order was extended through the 15th. But if you're going to start mapping, and that was the point of the meeting on the 9th.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I plan on showing up to the 9th, but I don't know how comfortable everyone else is. So if the fact that mandate hasn't been lifted until this 15th, we can't make people go, right?
No, you can still hold your meeting.
Is there anyone who was hoping not to attend on the 9th? This may not be a...
Okay, yeah, sorry.
I think we're all able
to... In person then?
Okay. Yeah, in person on the 9th.
I think
okay.
That'll make it easier.
Yeah, right. I wasn't trying to create a problem. I just was trying to make sure everyone was comfortable.
Sure.
Understood.
And we can meet in the chamber so you can don't have to sit close to each other. We can do social distancing in there easily.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Rob just has to be able to hook his equipment up to the TVs.
Actually, interestingly, this process would be, if it was on Zoom, would actually be easier because the map would be on your screen and everybody could more easily see it rather than squint at a projector. So
would we be able to see it with the detail, Rob? That
I mean, I'll zoom in as far in as you want, but it might actually be easier, more friendly to actually do it on Zoom if that option is available to it. I'm just saying. Because you'd be seeing me zoom on a screen on your screen. And everybody would have equal ability to see it. Just so saying.
We could do a hybrid.
No, if you're going to do it in person, do it in person. Or if you can do it on Zoom, do it on Zoom. One or the other.
Yeah. Always bring a laptop to an in-person.
Yeah, I'm coming in person. I'm bringing my laptop.
I think we sort of already decided it was going to be in person. And not that we couldn't change this, obviously, at this time. But something tells me we've already put it on the calendar as being in person.
I'm going in.
I defer to Fawn on that, but I would hate to have told people we're meeting in person and they're going to come and watch us do this and we change it. But, you know, of course, that I think at this point, then it doesn't totally matter if we've noticed it, but.
Okay. Yeah, I'll see you all in person April 9th.
Okay. We're going to talk a little bit about mapping. Rob, you had something prepared for us with the submissions that are recent. In addition to the 9, you said that there were altogether 15 unique ones. I don't think we need to see duplicates.
Well, there. I'll just show you real quick. I can also show them to you.
Hang on. Let me share the screen one moment. Whoops.
Oh, yeah. Make sure I can share the screen. Yeah, that'd be great.
Sorry, I didn't set that up. Yeah. Give me just
okay. There we go.
One moment. For some reason. Sharing participants.
Well,
give me just one.
It's moment. Under security. You should. Yeah. It's under security, but then allow me to share.
I think I've got it.
Okay. I think I got it.
Okay.
So let's do this. Everybody see Excel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these are 29 plans from 29 from a few different users.
Where did these 29 plans come from?
They came from all the files that are on the server, any plan that's complete. So if there's a username out there and the plan is complete, I pulled it. This includes anybody who's on the commission as well. Most of these are from, I think it's like 5, 6, 7 users, 29 plans. Now keep in mind that 14 of these are duplicates because what they did was they created plans from plans 1 through 9, was it, last time, and then saved them under their own file. So they're exactly the same. So we move to this one and we actually have 15 plans. So as you can see, not much difference between which plans which. Just because a plan's more compact doesn't mean it's the best, because it might chop up municipalities more than a less compact plan might. So I have that, but I can go through visually the plans, and I can, now that I can see which of those, I can avoid going through the duplicates at least. So if you want me to go through them, I can do that visually if you want to see them. Yes, I will.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, if they're duplicates.
Yeah, I won't.
Not the duplicates.
No. I'm not showing the duplicates. Don't.
Let me just ask you, Rob. Sure. These are plans. Some of these plans were not submitted, right?
Yeah, some of them were not. Most of them were. I mean, this, like I said, this is down to 15. There were about 10 that were actually submitted. So there are 5 more that I think some of them may have been created after the meeting after, some of them by commission members, actually.
Yeah, so, I can tell you that unclear.
Two of them, yes, there are two from Andy in here.
There's two of mine made it in. I thought I only did one complete.
Yeah,
one.
Well, I found one. Oh, I think one of them was a duplicate. That's why. So
yeah.
So there's one from, there's one in there from you, and there's some from staff from me, because I was asked to do some out of the box ones for y'all. So I have a couple in there. And I think there's one or two people who are in the public who aren't commission members who submitted some. So it's really not that many. It's mostly commission members. So this is plan number 1. I believe it was plan number. The numbers may have changed from last time, but I think this one is still number 1. Or is this one Andy's? Andy.
I think that one looks like mine, yeah. I see a few insane things that I did by accident to make it all work.
So this one uses the District 22 like normal. It cuts Rochester in half. And then it has Wawarsing in 3 different districts. Shawangunk in 2. Plattekills in 3. Marlboro's in 2. Lloyd's in 2. Village of New Paltz is all in 1. And New Paltz and Lloyd are 1. The Sopus, part of Sopus is in one with Lloyd. So the Sopus is split twice. Lloyd is split, looks like 3 times. Town of Rosendale, this one's all in 1 district. Marlboro split twice. Most of Woodstock is in all in 1 district in that one. It's all Woodstock plus a little of West Hurley. Otherwise,
Rob, are you able to move the
sure.
Just so, oh, or that, that's fine.
I can close this out. I can.
Yeah, the toolbox is just in the way of that.
Yeah, I can zoom it out. So This one is interesting. I haven't seen this one before. This one splits the village authorities. That's new. This one also splits. Let me zoom in on Kingston, see what it does here. And City of Kingston is in four districts. There's a little sliver here. No. Yeah, that's in the town also. Mm-hmm. So it's in a couple districts. So that's plan one. Let me go to plan. See, all the plans' names are right. We see that Travis has some. Sorry. So plan number two. This is plan number two, which is also original. Move this out of the way. This out of the way. You're killing me. Kill that. Okay. Sorry about that. It's the Zoom that's messing me up a bit. All right. This is good practice from when we do it. Okay. So this one, this one's interesting because this is one of the few that actually does not keep the town all of Shandaken, Denning, and Harmburg all in one district. In fact, it splits them so that Harmburg is split in half. Shandaken is whole, Oliver whole. Denning is whole with Hardenburg and with most of Rochester. Rochester is split with Garner, but Garner is whole in that case. That's kind of interesting. And this one has Wawarsing in three districts. A little bit of Kerhonkson with Rochester just makes so much sense. And let's see, Seongum's a bit with this one. So Seongum again is in two districts. Platicles in looks like three districts. Marlborough in two, Lloyd in three, the four districts. It looks like almost three or four districts. Sopus, New Paltz is in two, Sopus is in two, Rosendale's in one. City Kingston, let's see how the City Kingston split up on it. You want me to keep going through this? I don't know how edifying this is. I mean, it's interesting to see all the possible permutations of this.
But what are we supposed to do with these?
But I mean, it's for idea gathering for when you do see them, see what you might like and what different possibilities are available. The point of creating as many maps as possible is to see all the permutations and figure out which one you think A is most compact and also meets the requirements of the charter most closely for the other considerations.
So, Rob, would you be able to make a PDF of those map books?
Yeah, I could do the map books again. I'm sorry, I didn't have enough time. I only had about 3 hours. Those take...
Oh, no worries. I was just curious.
Yeah, unfortunately, those take... they're pretty tedious to make, and they just take a lot of time to make. But, yeah.
Because I think it's one of the interesting things that I'm noticing is that there are all of these, like, benefit, like some districts are amazing. I cut up Saugerties into two pieces, but other districts, you know, other plans didn't. And I think like seeing how each person handled certain areas is what's going to end up being really helpful. So we can be like, oh my God, that district is perfect. The way that it keeps Saugerties whole, how can we combine it and make sure that it maintains equal population? We're going to have to finesse the boundary, you know, in between this one and that one.
Yeah. I'm always wondering if keeping a separate map book with just the overall book, so you can just easily shuffle through them all at once and see, really compare them one to one, rather than have maybe, I don't know if the separate map books with the districts helps that much as opposed to actually, I don't know.
It may help us eventually when we're getting drawing, but I don't know that we need to have it in, like, it may just be helpful to have one PDF of all the major ones, and then maybe having the little slices available to, I don't know. I don't know how to do it properly, but like it, if it were me coming to our in-person meeting, I probably will be pulling all of the, like having all of these full maps printed out in front of me to reference. But I think once you start getting into roads and things like that, you do kind of want to see where the boundary is that the smaller district level map may help with. But yeah, and I agree with Andy, like for up here, it looks like without knowing exactly what roads and whatnot, it looks like Saugerties, Woodstock, et cetera, is pretty, looks pretty on point, but versus the bottom of the map where towns are in four districts, I think we're all less than inclined, if we can avoid doing that, to do that.
Right. And we'll be able to see things when we do it, because I can bring up, I'll be able to bring up Google Map and pull it onto it, any single one you want me to, so we can really look at things like Andy's as we go through them.
Great.
Yeah, and like the mess that I made with the southern part of the county speaks to my inexperience with that geography. Like I kept Rosendale and Pine Falls together because I know that they're, you know, very tightly closed, but that's because I live right here. So I think like other commissioners with experience in other parts of the county that I don't know, like that's why it's so good that we have so much information to work from, because I don't have all of the information and neither does anybody.
Yeah, I think one of the maps that we had just, I don't remember which one it was, it took at least three school districts in the Marlboro, Plattick Hill, Lloyd, right through down south.
I can bring those into consideration for that meeting on the 9th too. I can bring those in.
Thank you.
I don't know if you want me to go through any more maps, but, you know, so.
I think it might be more valuable to go through them on the 9th when we're there. I think, Rob, your observations of like, I don't know how you see it so quickly, but you're like, oh yeah, that town is in four districts. Like, that's really helpful to have that background information. But I'm not sure if we need to go through all 15 now.
No, I don't. Probably not.
We'll get there.
Right. I mean, Ken did make a good point in one of his emails about a starting point for when we do on the 9th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're all in agreement. For example, the Olive, that whole Western District, if that's something that should just remain, because that could be a starting point. And then we go from there. Or do you want to start with a blank map? When we did it 10 years ago, we started with a blank map and we went from scratch. We went every single line. And oh, by the way, at that meeting, there was no public comment at that meeting at all. It was just 7 hours straight of mapping. And that's why we started so early. So I'm a little concerned that we're starting late, but yeah.
I agree that there's probably not public mapping. The only reason I said that about the public was that it's an open meeting that the public is entitled to come to.
Oh, I wasn't talking about that.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I suspect that most of us probably have that upper corner when we looked at maps.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that if I don't have a preference either way, because we could just end up doing it anyway. It's only a few clicks to create that district.
Mm.
So it's literally like four clicks, right, to create. So.
Enough.
Yeah, Rob, and I agree with that. When we looked at the first nine maps, eight of the nine maps kept the Hardenberg, Shandaken, Denning, Olive cluster together. I don't know about 10 through 15, but certainly eight of the nine of the last time did. You know, I it made a lot of sense to me. The other thing that you know, we were talking about chopping up, I think if we could have some agreement on doing as little chopping as possible, if we can keep it down to two, so a town wouldn't get chopped up into three or even four pieces. I named three municipalities the last time that got chopped up at least three times, and one of them four times. So it was split with other districts. And I think if we can try to keep it to two splits, two shares, two chops, whatever you want to call it, that might be.
I think that's great to aspire to, but I don't know if I think four, we can definitely completely avoid, I hope. But I think in the southern part of the county, I was having a hard time with, like, it's like one of the towns needs to be in three. is what I found.
In the first nine, there were two that managed to do that.
Oh, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So
I would say currently Town of Shangham is in three districts.
This map has it in two.
And that's where I'm like especially interested to hear what Kathy has to say. I mean, not Kathy, Donna, I'm sorry.
Yeah. There's no way the Marlboro, and I say this lovingly, Marlboro can't be split into three. It just can't. And a lot of the maps that I'm seeing, this one isn't. So
yeah, this one has Marlboro and only two.
That's in two. Yeah. But there was one of them that was, it looked like three and it was going west and north. Mm. But then you're taking so much into consideration that you shouldn't, that I guess, mm-hmm. I want to say that people that don't live here know.
Right. So, this one, Don, is actually interesting. You see the blue line that goes here. See this little blue line here? That's the CDP. So it actually encompasses all Milton. And then splits the Hamlet and Marlboro separately.
Yep.
So that's not too shabby.
And then it takes it over to Plattekill.
No. You have to form a district zone now.
Yeah. Nope.
The other thing we might be able to agree with is the city of Kingston, that we keep it whole into three districts. That seems possible. Seems very doable. And I think that many of the maps, at least in the first nine, you know, kept them together. So most of the maps, I think, except for two, kept Kingston together. I think that's worth a try. Could be aspirational.
See, it's interesting because Marlboro did such a great job on Marlboro in this one. This one, it has Kingston sprawling out into the town of Ulster and Nasopus all over the place. So, you know, it's a given. So wherever you go, it's a given. It's a great example of it's a give and a take.
Mm-hmm. This is the one we identified as an example of gerrymandering.
Well, I don't think anybody's intentionally gerrymandering, but but
I don't think you can do that by accident, actually.
Could you raise this one up a little higher for me, please?
What do you mean?
I can't see 10, 11, 12.
Let
me make it smaller.
You want to see Marlboro?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one that goes. Oh. Thank you.
No problem.
So, yeah, I think it'll be really important to have this information and look at, like, what does this map do really well and what does this map not do well? We wouldn't want to draw the districts in Kingston the way this map has them, but there are other districts that might be, you know, beautiful. And then, of course, the magic happens when we try to make sure that the boundaries between the good districts and the boundaries between the other good districts from another map can be aligned. And I think that's what I'm hoping to accomplish on the 9th.
All right, I guess I can stop sharing my screen.
Rob, when you share these with us, are you going to do it through a Dropbox again? Or?
Yeah, I'll do a Dropbox because it's so much. So I'll do. Do you want the reports again too? I have an overall. I can just give you that overall report, so I don't have to generate the reports for each one. But I can create. I'll just create the. I'll do the map books again though.
And if you could put an identifier in, you know, in terms of the municipality, just.
Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Yeah. In terms of the enumeration there, could you keep the first nine, 1 to 9, the way it was, and then 10 to 15?
Yeah, I'll try to match them up. I have to figure out how to do that, but yeah.
If you can't.
Some of those first first maps we identified as examples of gerrymandering. Do we want to continue those?
I think we should, Ken, because I think that some of those maps, I think gerrymandering speaks to a specific intent to favor a political party. And I think those maps have districts that are not well drawn because they don't take into consideration a lot of the things that we're bound to consider. I know that when I was making my maps, I would sometimes just jam things together just to get a completed plan without the intent to gerrymander personally, but just to like get it done so I could click submit. And I think even my plans where I've gone horribly wrong in the southern part of the county may contain districts in the northern part that we do want to look at. So I think we should keep everything we have. I don't think we're going to vote to adopt any of those plans as they are. I think we're going to use that information to create the commission's collaborative plan. And so for that reason, on the off chance that there might be something good in one of those maps, I think we should just keep them all.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Andy. There were some egregious things, and I think one of the things that Ken was pointing out was how the city, you know, dipped into the town of Ulster or into Esopus, and you know, you could call that, you know, a physical gerrymandering. I don't know that it is gerrymandering because it has to do with political intent, as you say, and I think it's important for us to make those distinctions. But you know, there are other parts of the map we're probably okay and worth looking at.
I think also voting against the maps makes them have more force than we intended them to, kind of gives them more weight. We're really just collecting them, like Rob said, just to see different configurations. And we're planning on, you know, drawing a map ourselves. So if you vote against three of them, it kind of says that we are sort of in agreement with the remaining, which I don't think any of us are saying we are. So I think the optics of voting against some are outweighed in that regard as well.
Let's just not use the bad parts.
Yes, exactly.
We can also just, we can just ignore them at the end of the day either way, but yeah.
So Rob, one more time, the maps that you're going to be sending us, the 15, the unique, unrepeatable ones, they all pass Maptitude muster, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So I think if you send those to us, we'll be able to make some judgment calls.
And I definitely recommend what Sarah said about, you know, when we go to the meeting, you know, have a booklet of just the cover sheet of those and for your consideration to think about when we're at that meeting. I think that was a good idea.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Rob. Now we come time. Does anybody have anything else to say about maps before we move on?
I just someone was looking at some of the, had a discussion with actually a student about what we were doing, and they were confused because we were referring to maps by different numbers. They were trying to match up the Panza 1, 2, 3 with the Leibovitz 1, 2, 3 and just suggesting that we unify whatever identifier you're going to use for the maps and then keep it the same throughout the rest of the discussion. It was a suggestion I wanted to share with you.
I think that's a great suggestion, and numbers are a good way to do it. And any commissioner that wants to see the username or any other identifiers, they can do it. They belong to us. But just for the sake of the discussion, we can refer to map 6, 12, 11, 1, 2. You know, it's just, I think, easier. You know.
Well, if Rob swept through all the commissioners' accounts, he got everything.
Yep. Okay.
What number he put on what he got, I don't know, but, you know, they weren't hidden.
No. Well, yeah. So is that okay, Rob? Is that sound okay?
The Excel sheet I showed you contains all users with finished plans only, and then the plan stats with the duplicates removed. So the two first tabs of that Excel sheet, if anybody wants it, has all the usernames and then has what I translated those clan names to be in there. So if anybody wants it, happy to share.
Great, great. Thank you. Thank you very much, Rob. Okay, so the penultimate thing here is public comment. Do any of our guests at this meeting on Zoom, maybe the phone, have any comments on the work of the commission, anything they'd like to say? So please unmute and go right ahead, please. Okay.
Did Carol?
Carol, you had something?
Okay. And I'll try one more time. Can Galaxy S7 tell us your name? Perhaps they can't. Okay.
Okay. All right. Very good. So I'm requesting for a motion to adjourn. Someone, please. Okay. Travis, second. Donna, all in favor? Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Great. Thank you. See everybody Saturday, April 9th at 11 o'clock at the county office building. And what room are we in?
We'll be in the legislative chambers on the sixth floor.
Sixth floor legislative chambers. Okay, great. All right. Thanks. See everyone. Thank you very much.
Feel better.
Thanks,
Kristen.
Everyone.